I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. So goes the famous refrain in Robert Munsch, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, it's got a lot of consonants in a row, but book, Love You Forever. The book turned 38 this past week on October 1st. And the story captures the love of a parent, in the book it's his mother, for a child, and in the book that's her son. And as their lives seem to pass in opposite directions, the boy growing up into adulthood, a mother growing in age and even frailty. Rather, detractors from the book accuse it of being creepy and even the proto-boy mom obsession book, as some have labeled it. The author's backstory provides the meaning. Robert and his wife had suffered two stillborn births. And so he would hum the line to himself as he grieved the loss of a second child. Eventually, as that was a comfort for him and he would think of that line, a narrative began to form in his mind, and so came the book. The point of the book, then, is a parent that loves their child forever, a love for life. Even age and frailty cannot take away that love. Love for life. I don't care who you are. I don't know how tough you present yourself, or how stoic, or how much you present yourself as not needing anything from anybody. We all want that. We all desire to be loved unconditionally, to be loved for life. God's love is displayed in real time as His grace. We talk a lot about God's grace. We've sung of God's grace today. God's love in real time. His grace for life. Does God have grace for life for you? So far here in Romans, we've had the introduction, we've had Paul's statement of the gospel, we've covered the ground of God's wrath revealed against sin, we've looked at there's no justification through obedience to the law just simply reveals our need of justification. Justification by faith is in Christ is revealed, though. There's another way to God's righteousness, and that's found by faith in Christ alone. And Abraham being justified by faith and not the law, the greatest example of that. Here, as we've turned the page to a new section of Romans chapter 5 through Romans chapter 8, we're beginning in these first 11 verses, 1 through 11. Last Sunday, we covered a lot of ground with one verse. Someone lovingly was teasing me that if I'm going to retire before we get to the end of Romans. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But we hope to get there. And this passage, verses 1 through 11, the whole section, I believe teaches us that justification in Christ includes life-changing blessings. Paul's already built the argument for justification by faith. He's already proven it from the scriptures and God's past relations with his people. It's proven the Bible's revealed this progressively to this point of found in Christ. So he's not arguing the case anymore. But now he's presenting that having been justified by faith in Christ, there are life-changing blessings woven into that justification too. Last Sunday, we considered how we have peace with God. I hope for you this past week you have thought about that. God's brought that to your mind again. Christian, this is amazing. We have peace with God. Praise the Lord. And here we continue to look at two more of these blessings that are woven into our justification from verses 2 through 5. So as justification in Christ includes life-changing blessings, this week we consider God's grace for life. As Christians, all we know is God's grace. Grace for all of life. Grace even in our suffering. So quickly to cover the ground again, because I see this as a whole paragraph. So the first point would have been from last Sunday, verse 1. First, there's justification in Christ brings peace with God. Just a very brief summary. We have peace with God through Christ, because Christ Himself is our peace. So we need to preach this truth to ourselves all the time. As I said last Sunday, in the night watches, when your soul is searching for peace, believe this truth when the house is a mess. Trust Christ. Truly trust him. Christ is your peace when danger feels to be suffocating you. Because of justification by faith, you, Christian, you have peace with God. So Christ is your peace. Not circumstances, not people, not showing the future or somehow being able to fix the past. Christ alone is your peace, and he is your peace forevermore. Number two, then, for the whole section, but our first point this morning, number two would be justification in Christ transfers us into God's grace. Verse two, justification in Christ transfers us into God's grace. So let's look at this verse again. What does the verse say? Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's a lot of ways we could break up this verse, but let's just look at it as just two pieces. So the first piece then, we have obtained access by faith into the grace that saves, into this grace, and in which we stand. A couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity to, my boys, my two oldest and I, to attend through FCA Game Time, a golf event, a professional golf event there in Columbus during a practice round. And during that practice round, my boys got the opportunity to walk inside the ropes right there with the players. Some of the kids even got to carry the pro's bag. The caddies like that because they didn't have to carry the bag for a minute. We'll throw it on some of these kids. And they got to walk inside the ropes. Well, there's no question, adults, we were not. We had to stay outside of the ropes. It was just the kids that got to do that. Man, I didn't get to do that. But as they did that, there's no question, it's not that any of these kids, about 20, 25 kids who were there, it was, of course, none of them got to walk inside of the ropes because of their own credentials. They only got to walk inside of the ropes at the invitation of these pros. It's because of who they were with that they got to do that. You also think of a picture like this. So say there's a powerful ruler. Well, as growing up, he wasn't this powerful ruler. He was just a kid. And like all kids, he had kid friends. And they loved to do kid stuff together and play kid games. And they were just kids and they were just friends. Well, as he grows up and he rises to this position of power, his childhood friends know him first as a friend. And they enjoy access to special privileges and places at his invitation because they are his friend. My friends, justification by faith in Jesus Christ includes life-changing blessings. And one of those blessings is now because of who we are with, not being of our own merit, but by his grace who we're with, we now have access to God's grace, and that is where we live from now on forevermore. In chapter 4, this blessing looked like access to Christ's inheritance, receiving the whole world. This is the biblical teaching of in Christ that Paul talks so much about. It's one of Paul's favorite phrases. The believer is in Christ Jesus, meaning one with Christ, permanently united to Christ, receiving all the blessings of Christ, and receiving grace from Christ. There's access to a whole existence, a whole life, everything that is known, and it's all characterized by something. Grace. It's all grace. You can't get into Sam's Club or Costco without a membership card. We'll have that debate later this afternoon of which is the better. No throwing things at each other right now. You can't get in without a membership card. You can't get into those luxury suites at the pro basketball or football game unless you have the right kind of ticket. But if you do have that membership card, and if you do have that right ticket, you get full access to that giant warehouse of savings. You get access to the amazing views, seats, and all the extras in that suite. You're not a peasant sitting up in the nosebleeds. You get the good stuff if you have the right access. Christian, I want you to get this, to really get it. I want you to really understand. As a believer in Jesus Christ, your relationship with God is now characterized by a new word, 100% grace. Everything in your life, All that you now know in relationship to God is by grace, unearned favor, hearing and answering prayer, the best of friends in Christ Himself, the most loving and wise of fathers, assurance, pardon, companionship. It's all yours in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes myself, and I've had other Christians share with me at times, sometimes we get a little worried. Is God's grace the same for me today? Is it have not done so well as a Christian? So is that acceptance the same? But it's always the same. Verse 2, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Christian, this is who you are, and it's what you have now forevermore in Christ by justification. Years ago, when my wife and I were both working secular jobs and I was looking for my first ministry opportunity after an internship, and the company we worked for had a private suite at local baseball team. And so got to go to that. We got to tag along, not for us, but because it was the department my wife worked in. And so we got to go to the game. And I'll never forget getting there and going to the level where the suites are with our little ticket ready to get in. And they're like, you're in the wrong spot. And I just kind of thought, well, yeah, we probably have regular seats. We had this wrong. No, there was like the secret level suites were. We had to get on a special elevator to even get there. How do these levels even exist at these places? This is way outside my league, okay? Top row up the top. That's my jam. Not doing stuff like this. We didn't even know how to get in there. But we were able to do that because of we were able to do. There was the food. You try a little bit of food, and then you kind of realize, oh, it's as much as you want to eat. Well, this is great. We can enjoy all we wanted. We can enjoy the game and enjoy the opportunity that was given. Once in a lifetime. That will never be repeated. The one chance to do it. Well, if that's fun and we can find enjoyment to that and we can respond to, hey, that's pretty neat. How much more? Who cares about a sports game? Who cares about a fancy elevator to a fancy suite? Christian, you have access. You have been transferred into the grace of God forever. It's all you now know. It's all that you have. Until the day you see Jesus face to face, all that is characterized of you and a relationship to God is peace, and it's His grace. Unearned favor. Provisional love to you, with you at all times. And really, what are we thinking about here? It's been said many long time before, it's kind of lost and being rediscovered again. Grace is not an element on the periodic table, okay? Grace is not a quantifiable provision like water or something like that. Grace is a person. Grace is God in Jesus Christ to you and me. To say our whole existence is now God's grace, unearned favor, is the same thing as saying our whole existence is now Christ, in Christ, with Christ, a loving relationship with Christ. Christian, that's yours. That's what the Bible says right there. That's yours, having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So your whole existence is God's grace. Grace for life. The verse concludes in saying we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The end of verse 2, this rejoice, the NASB says exult in, the NIV says boast. The idea is rejoicing or boasting, this exalting that draws attention to what is being rejoiced over. So this is boasting in something, it's rejoicing in this. And that something is the sure hope for the future, a hope to know the glory of God in the eternal life to come. Just as Jesus rose from the grave to ascend to the right hand of the Father in eternal glory, so believers will also receive the resurrection and eternal life in heaven with Christ forevermore. So see the, it's not the, not necessarily a parallel, but see the transition that occurs. Romans 3:23 said for us, for all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. But what does Romans 5, 2 say? Now, it's not that we fall short of the glory of God. Now in Christ, we can say we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What was before us, a marker that we fall short to, and it shows how we don't get heaven, we don't get salvation, we cannot get it on our own. Now in Christ, it's our rejoicing. Now in Christ, it's our hope. Now we are connected to the glory of God and will be connected to His glory forevermore. So all believers in Jesus Christ receive the eternal glory of God. They get in because of Christ. On Jesus' account, they don't fall short anymore. Praise the Lord. So through justification, we are granted access into the grace of God. It's all we know from that point forward, grace for life. And not only grace for life, but grace unto eternal life. Grace that is ours forevermore, having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. All glory be to Christ. We think about it sometimes on St. Patrick's Day, but it's worth thinking about more often than that. St. Patrick was a man who loved the Scriptures. He loved Christ, and he drew out the priority of missions. He's one of the first to ever do it in his life, to draw out the priority of Christ and the gospel that compels missions. And he famously said, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. That's the idea of Romans 5, verse 2. All of life is with Christ. All of life is God's grace to us in the present reality, person of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Justification in Christ brings life-changing blessings. One of those blessings is you, brothers and sisters, you now have been transferred into, you have access, you live in the grace of God forevermore. Maybe you hear this and you have one of those but what about questions. And maybe the question goes something like this. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I see what Romans 5:2 is saying. As Christians, everything we now experience is through God's grace, by God's grace to us. If true, then maybe you wonder, what about those experiences and seasons of life of trial, of suffering, when everything feels like it's going wrong? Maybe you hear verse 2 and you think, how is that God's grace for me when there is suffering, when there's trial? Well, that leads us right into the next life-changing blessing of justification of verses 3, 4, and 5. So following along with last Sunday, our first one, peace with God, then this is number 3. Justification in Christ gives redeeming purpose to our suffering. Justification in Christ gives redeeming purpose to our suffering. Please look with me again at verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3, not only that. So not only access by this faith in which we stand, we hope in the glory of God, not only that, but we rejoice. What do we rejoice in? Our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings because there's something by God's grace we know. Well, what is that we know? We know that suffering produces good. Here, endurance. Endurance also produces good. It produces character. And character, as this process continues, character produces hope. And this hope, just like the hope being talked about in verse 2, this hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts, the justification, the peace, His grace, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Justification in Christ gives redeeming purpose to our suffering. Verse 2 says that we now rejoice in God's grace and our hope of glory. Verse 3 says we now rejoice in our sufferings. There are all sorts of things to rejoice in, are there not? So beautiful weather, I always rejoice in beautiful weather. Praise the Lord for that. Healthy children, we praise the Lord for that, rejoice in that. An unexpected kindness, just out of nowhere, even if it's the smallest thing, just an unexpected kindness that God brings your way, we rejoice in that. Our team winning the big game, we can rejoice in that. Or maybe our team getting one, their first victory on the year, we might rejoice on that too. Seeing something we need, and it's 50% off. Rejoice in that. That's a Midwest conversation. Midwest conversations are required by law to go like this. Hey, I like that jacket. Thanks. I got it on sale. I had a coupon. I had so much Kohl's cash and a coupon. They actually paid me $10 to walk out with this. That's required. It's how it has to go. We can't talk about it any other way. And we rejoice. We rejoice. But rejoice in suffering, just as Jared preached a couple Sundays ago. The scriptures talk about this repeatedly, do they not? Rejoice in suffering. If you've been a Christian for a while, you've been thinking still, and I hope you have still been thinking on the message from 1 Peter 4. If you've been a Christian for a while and you have heard faithful teaching and preaching on God's word, and I know you have here, God works in our lives even through suffering. Then we can wrap our heads around this. We can get it intellectually. Okay, God uses good for suffering, or he accomplishes good in my suffering. Okay, I get it. But let's just be honest for a moment. Not all human suffering is the same, humanly speaking. There's a type of suffering or trial when I can't find my lip balm and my lips hurt real bad. There's a type of suffering or trial when we are undergoing a project of some type, and it could be anything, cooking, building, crafting, a project related to our employment, our job, something, and everything seems to be going wrong. There's a type of suffering and trial like that. But frankly, are those anything compared to hearing the doctor say, stage 4 cancer? Or to get the phone call that says, I'm sorry to tell you your loved one has passed away? This fallen world is full of horrors of sin, is it not? And the Bible says, rejoice. Look at the little phrase at the beginning of verse 5. I think it's significant. He says, and hope does not put us to shame. I believe there's an inverse of that. Why does he say that in here? This hope does not put us to shame. Why is he pointing that out? Shame, where's that coming from? Because sometimes suffering brings shame. Someone treats us like garbage and we feel ashamed. We try our very best and we fail and we feel ashamed. We are without a basic need and we have to go to somebody else and ask their help for just a basic need and we feel shame. Shame is a powerful and dangerous experience in a person's life. When suffering brings shame and darkness in our soul, how can we rejoice? Well, friends, here is what Romans 5 is teaching us. There is God's grace for life for these moments too. In the context of this verse, in this section, it's not that there is God's grace and there's these anomalies over here where everything is derailed and God's grace is kind of worn out for a second. He got distracted with somebody else and now you're kind of on your own in the season of suffering. It's that there is God's grace. There is God's person in those moments too. You think of Joseph. Was Joseph's life easy? Getting sold into slavery? For any of us here with siblings, I kind of see the siblings, what they were thinking. They sell him off into slavery. He gets hauled off. He does right, right? He pleases the Lord. He does what's right. Thrown into jail, but he could rejoice. Joseph could rejoice. Daniel, was Daniel's life easy? Here he is, a young man, entering the prime years of his life, of 17, around that time, growing up into adulthood, thriving in his country, clearly loved the Lord, and he's hauled off to slavery. He's made a servant in this wicked king, the very guy who orchestrated this against your own country. He's made a servant in his house, but he could rejoice. Think of Paul and Silas thrown into prison, beaten. Paul multiple times, shipwrecked. This guy, name a thing, Paul went through it. And here's Paul and Silas, and they're sitting in the bottom, the deepest dungeon. They're down in the hole. They're in the pit hole at the furthest room down there, and their hands are chained up above their heads. And what are they doing, church? If you know the story, you know. They're singing praises to the Lord. They're rejoicing. How could these people rejoice in suffering? Romans 5, 3 through 5 gives us even tangible realities that we can know and we can rejoice in, like what? God's plan is to use suffering in the lives of His children to grow them, mature them in the faith. Well, in what way? There is no such thing as random suffering in the life of the Christian. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as just random, purposeless suffering. Every single trial, from the little things to the far more serious things, God has purpose in that for you to accomplish good. That is His grace revealed for us. First, He says that suffering produces endurance. You think of any athlete as they begin a new season, and maybe they've, let's just say they've not been working as hard as they should before the season begins. And so no matter what sport it is, you're out there, you're running some wind sprints, you're doing it at first, those are really, really hard. Well, what happens as you continue to run those, you continue to do that? Well, you get in a little bit better shape, and your endurance picks up. And now you're doing a little bit better. In the same way, our soul, our faith needs tested through suffering that it may produce endurance in us. As that endurance grows, what comes with it? Well, the Bible says what comes with it is character. Character for what? Character to not quit. Character to keep showing up. Character to not respond in kind to others. Character to take a deep breath when others are loud and angry, and that's our go-to as well, maybe. It's character to keep going. It's character that we keep trusting the Lord. It's character that we look to Him. And as this character continues to grow, as endurance is growing, as character is growing, what else is growing? Our hope is growing. Hope in God. What kind of hope is this? It's a hope in God that doesn't allow circumstances to change your understanding of who God is. And boy, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hope in God that doesn't allow circumstances to say, nah, that's not really what God's like. Yep, there's chapter and verse that says that about God, but you clearly have something wrong because that's not what He's like. It's hope that does not allow that. It's a hope in God that when suffering comes, your first response isn't to attack God's character, but to trust in God's character. It's a hope in God that shines out of your life as this powerful beacon that God is good and all God's promises are true. I don't dare bring up specific things within our church just for sake of being misspoken or to miss. But in the 8, almost 9 years that my family has been here, we have seen that in this church and family, where real trial and real suffering has come to some of our own church family. And what has come out? This shining light of God's goodness and grace out of their life. And the rest of us just praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. God's suffering, the suffering that comes into our lives, God is accomplishing good. His grace is at work to accomplish good. And it's not that we're rejoicing that things stink. We're rejoicing that God is gracious and that by our justification through Christ, God's grace is at work for our life and is at work in those situations too. That's what we rejoice in. Church, some of you have been through such trial and such suffering. As I was preparing this week, I just thinking about that and just praying, Lord, use this scripture to encourage your people. Every member of Calvary Baptist Church experiences trial and suffering. And here is what God puts in the Bible for you and for me for all that suffering, all those trials. Know that God has purpose for your trials. God never wastes your tears. God is desiring to increase your hope in him. And he's wanting you to know more clearly his spirit which lives in you. Christian, we are so blessed with a God who's not just in the heavens for us. He is here now. We are blessed by a God who doesn't only hold all the stars in place. He lives in your soul, in the Spirit of God which dwells within you. This is the life-changing promise, the life-changing blessing of justification. You are never alone in suffering. Your suffering is never purposeless. God is always seeking to accomplish good. Maybe you need that reminder today. Maybe I need you to tell me this tomorrow. But this is God's blessing to us and our justification in Jesus. Your heart can find place to rejoice in suffering as your heart knows and trusts God's love for you in the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. Love these verses. They just strike me every time. Romans 8, verses 15 through 18. For you, Christian, did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided what? Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The future glory Joseph enjoyed in Egypt came to him through suffering. God was accomplishing good and great purposes, preserving the genealogical line that gives us the Messiah. And God was gracious with Joseph all along the way. We've thought about it other times, but it just fits so perfectly, so I must share it again. But I think of Naomi. Change comes back. She wants her name changed to Bitter. Just want you to call me Bitter. We think of all of her suffering that she went through. Yet God used her suffering to produce endurance. Naomi doesn't fully walk away from God, does she? She does not fully walk away from the faith in Yahweh. There's some endurance. And through endurance, there's some character produced. Naomi comes face to face with what's lacking in her, and so call me bitter. There's some character grown. And then where does the story conclude? Here she is sitting, holding a grandson from Boaz and Ruth, and she's rejoicing in what? The hope of God. The hope of God which has grown in her heart, produced in her. Grace for life. Grace for Abraham. Grace for Joseph. Grace for Naomi, grace for Daniel, and Christian, grace for you. Grace for you. Justification in Christ includes life-changing blessings. First, justification in Christ brings peace with God. Second, justification in Christ transfers us into God's grace. It's all we know in our existence. Third, justification in Christ gives redeeming purpose to our suffering, to grow our hope in Christ. There's more to come in Romans 5, 1 through 11. There's three more. But believer, all these life-changing blessings are yours in Christ. They're yours right now in Jesus. Church, you have God's grace for life. Through the sunny days and through the storms, your whole experience of life is peace with God and surrounded by his grace. All praise be to the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And so not in any way to diminish, but it's kind of like this from God to you, Christian. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as God is living, his child, you'll be.